The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We have movies. Ron McDermott from the Manitoba Hot Press, Dee Malumby from entertainment.ie are with us, and let's talk about the latest Spider-Man movie. And how many Spider-Man movies have there been this century?
So there have been 8 films that are actually led by Spider-Man, and this is the 23rd film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So this is a follow-on from the last one, Avengers Endgame. Yeah, I can see the look you're giving me, Matt, and I have to be honest, I was watching Spider-Man Far From Home and I was getting that exact superhero movie fatigue watching it. It is just the same kind of formula sprouted out again and again, isn't it, unfortunately? Story-wise, in this case, we're following Peter Parker, aka Spider-Man. He's taking a break from his superhero duties, just feeling too under pressure now that the Avengers have disbanded and everyone's expecting him to be the next superhero that'll step up to the marker. But instead, he's decided to go on a trip across Europe with his classmates. However, his vacation is cut short because Nick Fury wants him to go on another superhero assignment. And for this one, he partners up with Quentin Beck, aka Mysterio, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is fantastic in this film, by the way. But yeah, I was just watching this film feeling very jaded, especially given this movie is meant to be setting up the next phase for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And if this is what, you know, we've come to expect, then I think we're just going to get more of the same formula rehashed again and again. I was so excited for this and I just watched it. And especially as a sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming, I think that what people really enjoyed about that film was that it wasn't just a superhero movie, but it was also like a teen flick, you know, which dealt with all the, you know, craziness of adolescence and all of the fun that we have with our friends and like first love and all of these things. But this just felt like another kind of Spider-Man Homecoming. There just isn't really anything unique to these films anymore.
Okay, before we ask Ro what she thought of it, let's hear a clip. I don't know what's in this clip, but let's hear a clip from Spider-Man.
This is Mr. Beck.
You handled yourself well out there today. I saw what you did with the tower.
Thanks.
They were born in stable orbits within black holes, creatures formed from the primary elements. Air, water, fire, earth. The science division had a technical name. We just called them elementals.
Versions of them exist across our mythologies.
Turns out the myths are real.
Like Thor. Thor was a myth, and now I study him in my physics class.
These myths are threats.
The elementals are here now.
We have one mission. Kill it. And you're coming with us.
Mr. Fury, this all seems like big time. You know, huge superhero kind of stuff. And, I mean, I'm just a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, sir.
Please, you've been to space.
Ro, what did you make of it? That's Tom Holland, isn't it, playing Peter Parker this time?
I think I enjoyed this definitely more than Dee. I think I enjoyed it because I didn't particularly enjoy Homecoming. I felt like watching Homecoming, I was babysitting a teenager and I found it very frustrating. And what I liked about this movie was it's set after the events of Endgame. So Peter Parker has gone through violence and adrenaline and adventure and loss on a scale that no 16-year-old should ever have to go through. And I think you're seeing him deal with that. So you're seeing his grief, you're seeing his imposter syndrome emerge because he's suddenly back in high school. They also, I think what's really clever is the writers answer some lingering questions about Endgame, about timelines, etc., and how it affects people. And you see that playing out with the teenagers in really nice ways. But I also think it raises I think Tom Holland's performance is very interesting.
But he's a very good actor, isn't he?
I think this movie is one of the movies where I said, oh, okay, I can see what you'd be like as an adult actor. I know he's technically 23, but
I was just
going to
say, he looks a lot older than 16.
He is older than 16, but I can see him evolving because you can see him, say, you know, feeling like a teenager and wanting to enjoy teenage things, but having this huge responsibility and really struggling with that after, you know, experiencing all this loss. But they play with the teenage dynamic really nicely. But I think a really nice thing the writers do is they set up the storyline that it can ask more questions of the audience, because as Dee said, we've had 23 of these films. And there are questions there of why we keep flocking to superhero stories. Why do we flock to see our world being destroyed and then saved? And then also, who creates these superheroes and what's the cost of creating these superheroes? And I think these questions are handled really nicely in that you can get as political with them and as meta with them as you want, or you can leave them on the level of the story. So I found that interesting. So I think it just felt a little bit more adult to me, which was far more fun than babysitting.
Listener says, will all these Marvel superhero films spark anti-hero movies, darker characters as an antidote, like the recent Brightburn, which wasn't great.
We're also having two Joker movies.
There's the Joker movie that's coming out with Joaquin Phoenix, which I'm really excited for. That's out later this year. Suicide Squad, which was out a few years ago, was posed as that, but then you went and watched it and it was pretty much your formulaic superhero movie, except really poorly edited and really poorly done. So, yeah, I'm hoping that we do see more of those types of movies that are just a bit more experimental and a bit different.
Okay. Where does Tom Holland fit against the other Spider-Man? Who's the best Spider-Man?
I always have a soft spot for Tobey Maguire, because that was, I remember when I saw that first Spider-Man movie, which I think was 2001, 2002, and it just blew me away. Seeing that first superhero film was just amazing. But in fairness, I think Tom Holland has been great in the role.
See, I think Tobey Maguire has just a very smug face, and and stories of his off-screen persona deeply irritate me. And I really liked Andrew Garfield because I thought he had that lanky...
Dorkiness,
but then the arrogance that also comes with being a dorky teenager who suddenly has powers.
Wasn't Tobey Maguire was great in Cider House Rules?
He was, yeah. But if you watch Molly's Game, which is an Aaron Sorkin film about high-stakes poker games that's based on a true story, there's a character that's apparently based on Tobey Maguire, and oh, he does not come out of that looking well.
Okay. Tell us, you've seen Midsommar. I think that's how you pronounce it, is it?
Yeah.
And it is starring, amongst others, Jack Rayner.
It is, yeah. I'm finding Jack Rayner's career very interesting because... I think What Richard Did was such a stunning film and a beautiful performance of a hyper-privileged Dublin teenager who gets into this terrible situation. But you feel so much empathy for him and so much sympathy for him. But now he did the Transformer film. He was in the Ruth Bader Ginsburg biopic where he played a very smarmy lawyer. And in this film, he's also playing kind of a really dislikable character. And he seems to be carving out a niche of playing hyper-privileged men who you actually don't like at the end.
This is a horror, though, isn't it? A horror movie.
This is a horror. It's brilliant. And their marketing campaign is superb.
The ad is fantastic. It just grabs
you. So disturbing.
Well, actually, let's hear the trailer.
I invited Danny to come to Sweden.
You know what she's been going through?
Christian says you've got this special week planned.
It's sort of a crazy festival. Special ceremonies and dressing up.
That sounds fun.
Welcome and happy midsummer. Skål!
What do you think?
It's like another world.
Tomorrow's a big day.
Is it scary?
We just need to acclimate.
I don't want to acclimate. I want to go.
Absolutely not.
It's a cult, is it, that they find themselves...
Based on a cult, yeah. So we've talked about Jack Rayner. We have to say Florence Pugh is the lead character in this. She is absolutely phenomenal. She's always been such an incredible actress, but this is just a superb performance. This is directed by Ari Aster, who people would know from Hereditary, which, again, was a horror movie that received so much acclaim, both for how it was shot, but also the layers of themes within it, and it addressed grief and had a superb performance from Toni Collette. And there's kind of two threads in this film. So it starts off with Florence Pugh, who's going out with Jack Rayner's character Christian, and she's going through something really, really terrible. And Christian is kind of one of those terrible, neglectful boyfriends who constantly makes her feel like she's overreacting, who isn't emotionally available, who wants to end the relationship but kind of stays out of a sense of obligation. And then for his thesis that he's studying, they go to Sweden with his friends who are all terrible in different ways and just very dismissive of Danny, Florence Pugh's character. They go to a Swedish village that has about 60 people. It's centuries old and it is essentially a cult, and it owes a lot, I think the film owes a lot to Wicker Man. There's a lot of references to runes, to ancient rituals, but because it's set in Sweden, it's constantly incredibly bright. It's one of the most beautifully shot films I've seen all year. It's stunning, but almost because it's so bright and so picturesque, it makes the rituals even creepier because there's a sense of it's all so beautiful, but something is off here. But as the rituals get more and more disturbing, people start being picked off from the pack. But it's all about Danny's emotional experience of this and everyone dismissing her. And I think if you look at the history of horror cinema, there's always the final girl. There's one girl who survives. But that always speaks to women having these fears and kind of being slightly more careful. And in the way that audiences shout at horror movies, you know, don't go in there. I think female characters often have that sense of, I don't like this. And men go, no, it's fine. And they play with that idea incredibly well.
So this is highly recommended.
Superb. Really, really creepy. The ritual stuff is incredibly creepy. It's a beautiful world. But the drama and the psychology of it, superb as well.
Roe McDermott from Hot Press, Dean Malumbi from entertainment.ie. Thank you both as ever for being with us here.
the last word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.